This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. Ivy Hilliard.
Session together, we talked about desires, and we end it allowing you to just kind of give voice to some of your desires. Everybody didn't give voice to it at that time, but turn to the person next to you and just tell them some things you desire so you can put yours out there in the air too. Yeah, tell somebody. Everybody had an opportunity. So I want everybody to have an opportunity to tell somebody something you desire. It may be beyond what you can right now see how it's possible, but it doesn't stop you. All right. That's good. All right. Don't tell me your whole family history now. This. All right. Why don't you give our Beaumont and Austin people another hand clap for joining us and staying with us. Really, our satellite is really a testament to the whole principle here. Our satellite system that we have. We'd never done satellite before. I knew nothing about satellite. I went to Brother Vernon. He was working for us and told Vernon, I want a satellite. And I need it by this date.
Amen.
Didn't matter. We hadn't done it before. We have it. Got it by the date we needed it. Amen. So you can't be intimidated. See, what is difficult to teach is the boldness and courage to step out. So you can't be intimidated by pursuing something that seems to be beyond your reach. You'll be amazed how close you are to what you need to possess what you require. In the process of talking about the satellite system, I was at the airport talking to one of my friends there at the airport who was in partnership with another guy. And just off the cuff, I just asked the guy, I said, hey, man, what do you do? What do you do? He said, well, you know, I'm leasing helicopters, but I just kind of do that for, you know, as a hobby. I'm kind of doing it, you know, as second type of income. And I said, what do you do for leasing? He said, I design satellite systems. Everybody said, the hookup. Because, see, once something becomes important to me, I'm able to spot those resources that are already around me. Now, he was not ultimately the person who helped us, but he helped in the process. Oh, you listen to me. That's the way it is. Once you begin to incubate it, then you'll be amazed at how you begin to spot people and resources around you. But it has to become a part of your focus. Everybody say focus. And we're going to get to that a little bit later. And then it's basically the same thing happened is happening now with the subdivision. I sit in at the ORU Regents meeting, and they have, you know, the Regents are a lot of, you know, classy people, you understand. Praise the Lord. And so as we were sitting there, we was eating lunch. At lunch, one of the Regents walked up to me and said, Dr. Hill, I just want to help you. I don't know what I need to do, but I just love your ministry. Such a blessing to me. And how can I just be a help to you? I said, well, what do you do? He said, I build subdivisions in Florida. Everybody say hook up. So he said, well, when I get back, I'll send you all of the stuff that I do. And he began to tell me about, you know, he really just began to give me a little education there about how to process the land and, you know, everything. Just began to give me a good overview. Then when he got back, he sent me a lot of the brochures and that sort of thing, sending me a pattern of how to do things. See, when you understand that when my heart is right toward God, and my desire is to please God, God is obligated to bring me into the company of the people I need to know and the knowledge of the things that I need to know that are critical for my success and my destiny in life. Some of y'all know that. Amen. Isaiah 55 and 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's ways are superior. Even though we may not be comfortable and have been conditioned in them, God's way of pursuing things is superior to man's way. And so laying hold of your desires, releasing potential, doing things, having things more than what you have right now is a matter of choice. You have to decide that you want them. It's a matter of choice because God's not going to impose them on you. This last session, we're going to talk about developing potential. How do you do that? How do you do that? Go to Luke 14 and 28, Luke chapter 14 and 28, because you have to plan for your future. Planning for the future is critical. Now, I don't know why when we talk about planning that most people think, well, I'll get around to it. Well, you know, you'll never get around to it if you don't do it, all right? Verse 28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after laid the foundation, he's not able to finish. All that behold began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You are going to live in the future. You're going to live in your future. So you might as well live in the future you planned. You're going to live in your future. So you might as well live in a future that you planned and not a future that just came by default. Amen, amen. So now, with that having been laid out, I need to understand about planning that success is not one giant step. It's not like hitting the lottery. It's not one giant step, even though it may appear that way. People look at people who succeed and think, well, hey, that happened overnight. 22 years, a long night. But it is a series of systematic sowing and reapings that brings success through process. It's a series of sowings and reapings, and it's not always money. It's a series of sowings and reapings that bring success through process. Now go with me, your Bibles, to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Desire is not intimidating. I'm not intimidated to desire to dream when I have an understanding of seasons. When I understand seasons, sowing and reaping and this whole idea of seasons, I'm okay. All right. All right. Verse 20 says, a faithful man shall do what? Abound with blessings. But he that make haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So the Bible obviously lets me know here that it's process and time. But it's okay if I understand that. Because if I maximize the season I'm in, I'll know I'll get a bountiful harvest in due time. Amen. Now, Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the Lord, Lord, and his law meditate day and night. And he shall bring forth his fruit in his season. Everybody say his season. So there's a season for fruit bearing. There's a season for manifestation of potential. There's a season. The Bible says for everything and every purpose, there's time and a season. So I got to understand that, because when I understand, if I do what I need to do in this season, I'm going to have what I want to have in the next season. All right. Now, I have a promise that I will reap in due season if I faint not. If I just don't quit. If I keep working the process,
The Bible says, I'll reap in due season. My due season is only qualified, defined as a due season if I have done what I was supposed to do in a previous season. See, I don't have a reaping season unless I've had a sowing season. Everybody say, he's not even talking about money. Now, I'm going to get to some money later on, but I ain't talking about money right now. Right now, I'm talking about, you know, let's take some of the dreams that people talked about. All right. You don't have what you have right, what you desire right now, but this is a season for sowings, sowing knowledge into you. Brother talked about Gulfstream, okay? All right, well, what would he need a Gulfstream for? Well, he might just want to buy it and rent it. Buy it and lease it out. Buy it and charter it. People do it all the time. So this is a season to find out what people do with Gulfstreams. Because he may be able, and in this searching and sowing season, you follow me? He's putting something into the ground. The ground is his heart. He's building up an expectation. He's building up faith. He's now allowing God to get involved because he's stepped out of the boat. As long as you just have your dream inside and will not work on it, you're still in the boat. You can't walk the water. But it's when you take a decisive action. I am going to possess this thing. Hallelujah. All right, now, so I understand this thing, it ain't gonna just happen. It requires some work. We ready to work? Okay, first thing, development of potential occurs through the power of focus. Everybody say the power of focus. That is daily, regular, monthly, or whatever activity on it. Regular activity, the focus on it. If that's what you want, then you got to do something on a consistent basis to acquire it. Consistently, I've got to do something. When we were building one of our buildings and we didn't have money, we just sweep the slab. Yeah. Amen. Go to other people's construction site. Talk to them. You understand the point? Doing something. I know what I know about aviation because I hung around the airports on the weekends. On Saturday, most of my Saturdays, I'd go to the airport, sit there and just talk with my friend and talk to other people around the airport. So I got a good education on aircrafts. Fair schooling. I'm really a consultant to people on aircrafts. Yeah. When pastors around the country want to buy aircrafts, want to charter aircrafts, the word's out. Call Hilliard, he knows. Yeah. Got it? But I know because that was a season of sowing. That was a season, you know, I didn't just get on my knees and say, all right, Lord, this is not the Matrix. You can't just say, download. And then after the prayer, you go, praise the Lord, I'm right now. That's not how it works, says that. The scripture tells you got to sit down, you got to count the cost, you got to plan, you got to work. Work is not a curse. Remember, work was here before the curse came. Those of you who want to publish books, it's not hard to publish a book. Nobody won't publish it, publish your own book. I've been trying to find me a publisher, All right. Since they don't want your book, shame on them. Publish your own book. That's what we did years ago. They wouldn't publish me. I wrote my own book. Found out how to do it myself. Published my own books. Now two publishers want me. Oh, you listening to me? Are y'all getting the point? The point is, don't sit here with your hand out. Get rid of that give me something mentality. I thought of something so funny and I just can't say it because this ain't the setting to say it in. But go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. If I said it, somebody would probably throw a rock at me if I said it. It is highly unspiritual. Jane Brown said, you don't have to give me nothing. Open the door, I get it myself. Oh, my God. Did he say that? Did he say that? Okay, let's get spiritual again. Come on, let's get spiritual. Oh, my God. Everybody say focus. And focus produces the tenacity that you need to endure tough times. Focus. Focus has to do with consistency. Focus has to do with cause and benefit. Man, just think of the benefit that you'll have when you possess that which you desire. Think of the benefit that you'll have. I remember in the computer, when I was dealing with computer, I think I may have given the testimony Sunday when I was in a kind of prejudiced situation. The guy wouldn't train me. Well, I could have quit going back to the warehouse. They didn't want me to leave. I had a warehouse job, got an incredible break, and had an opportunity to become a computer operator. Never took it in school and that sort of thing, but I got this marvelous opportunity here. And right when you think the door is open, wow, boom, there's an obstacle here. The guy won't train me, misrepresenting me to everybody else. And now I have a choice. I could really go back. I could quit and go back to the warehouse because they wanted me back. They didn't want to see me go. But I understood how I could rise at the warehouse. I wanted more for my family than what the warehouse could produce. I could see the limitless potential in the computer industry. I could see that it was ever growing. See, my desire, my focus on, if I can just get to this level, then I'm going to be able to do some things I would never be able to do with the warehouse. Everybody say focus, focus, focus. And so every time you feel like quitting, it's time to focus. Boy, this is a good class. It's time to focus on the benefit. So it's worth putting forth that extra effort. Now, when it comes to focus, here's a powerful principle here that God says, what I make happen for others, God makes happen for me. Ephesians 6:8, and are you there? All right, what does it say? Read it together. The same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Here's a principle at work. Doesn't make sense in the world, but it makes sense in the kingdom. That what I make happen for others, God makes happen for me. So if I'm willing to help somebody else with their dream, God will help me with mine. So you don't get so caught up in just doing your thing that you don't work a principle about helping others. You got it? Now, see, I just laid hand on that little boy. I made an investment. Hallelujah. So, number two is your development, potential is developed through the process through the practice of faith. Everybody say practice of faith. Now, if you want to get these correctly, development of potential occurs through the power of focus. Development of potential occurs through the practice of faith. Development of potential occurs through partners for my future. Development of potential occurs through the planting of my finances. Development of potential occurs through the promotions from my faithfulness. That's all I'm going to talk about for the next 16 minutes. If you didn't write them down, we'll try to get to them, all right? Next has to do with practice of my faith. Faith has to be more than steady. You have to do more than steady faith. You got to practice faith. You got to have the boldness to step out. You got to have the boldness not only to hear the word, faith comes by hearing, but you got to have the boldness to speak it. Even when folk don't understand it and folk laugh at you and that sort of thing, don't quit speaking it. You understand the process. God's ways is not man's ways. Folk don't understand God's way. You work in God's plan. And so you continue to say it. I saw you said a lot of things. Everybody laughed at me. They don't laugh at me anymore, though, because they understand that boy was on to something. When I began to talk about the big things, and right now, I'm talking about subdivision. Saying, well, other churches have done subdivision. Not like we plan to do it. And that's not throwing a rock at how they're doing. And I appreciate their example and da-da-da-da-da, but not like we plan to do it. Amen. You follow me? But saying it, you know, and believing it and saying it, and then with the expectation that God is going to give you wisdom along the way, that God is going to give you favor, that God is, he'll work a miracle if he needs to. Amen. I have this expectation that God's going to give me a plan of action, he's going to give me strength to endure. So I've got to work the process of faith. And that's, oh my God, if I could just take boldness and put it in a capsule and give it to people. You never get a chance to see God operates until you step out. Most people won't step out because they're afraid of failing. Redefine failure as a learning experience. And then it's not that intimidating. Because if it doesn't work, I have learned something. I've learned what not to do the next time. But I'm closer to getting to where I want to go. Everybody saying God, but 14 minutes, stay with him. I say 14 minutes, stay with him. It's developed through the partners for my future. Everybody say partners. For my future. Now this is what is so important. Boy, this is the power. This is what's so powerful. That, you know, relationships create an environment that is critical for my potential development. Relationships create an environment. And God, just a few minutes ago, I was talking about hookup. Well, God hooks you up. See, when I come in contact with people, I'm discerning whether or not that person has purpose in my life at this moment. Because I don't take God bringing people across my path lightly. I have seen too many times that God has brought people into my life at just the right time. Because I understand that that's how he works. That he connects you with the right people. And so I value connections. Amen, amen. All right, go with me in the Bible and I'll give you some scriptures on this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Ever said, my environment must be conducive to potential development. So if I'm not jealous of people who have more than me, they may be able to help me. If I'm not jealous of them, because jealousy, you know, gives off an atmosphere. It creates an atmosphere. Jealousy has an odor that stinks. I didn't say stinks. I said stinks. You follow me? So I got to make sure that I'm not giving off a stank odor. Because the person that I may be despising could be just the person who has my key. Since God works through relationships, got this, get this now, my next level promotion depends on the next relationship I make. Amen, amen. So the Bible talks about the importance of relationships because it tells us, you know, and I have a saying that your environment will change you before you change it. So since that is the case, I got to make sure that I put myself in the right environment. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Amplified says this way, do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. But the opposite of this is also true, that when God connects me with good people, it helps me. It puts pressure on me to become more accountable for myself. You are where you are. You are the sum total of who you are. Based on what others have imparted into your life that you choose, that you made the choice to embrace in your life, to incorporate into your character. You are who you are. When I look at you, you are the product of many people. When you look at me, I'm the product of many men. Number one, I'm the product of Theodore Hilliard. He taught me ethics. Amen, amen. He taught me responsibility. I saw my father respond, being responsible. I saw my father as a hard worker. That's the lesson I learned very early in life. You got to work. Well, you know, I didn't have that kind of. You are complete in him. You see me, I'm a worker. Some people, what do you mean by that? You should get the tape from last night. Last night we got rid of all excuses. The Bible said you complete in him, so you don't have any excuse. Because see, if I wore an excuse, I said, well, you know, my dad was a hard worker, but he didn't have much to show for it. So I could take that picture that could have been positive and then make it negative and say, well, why work hard? You ain't got nothing to show for it. Follow me? But I saw the discipline of hard work. Number two, the second man in my life that was a blessing in my life, my pastor, N.T. Burks. He was a man of studious. He was a very studious guy. I saw why you ought to study the Bible. I mean, he was a brilliant man. He taught me how to outline my messages. I used the same outlining method that he taught me when I was 10 years old. Same way I get my lessons now is the same. I'm serious, it is. He taught me loyalty. I always wondered, how did I pick up loyalty like I have? I'm a very loyal person. How did I get that? Well, the very first sermon he had me write was a sermon on loyalty. Jonathan and David. The bond of friendship. That is why friendship is so valuable to me. Because that was a lesson he taught me. And I remember sitting in that office with him on that Saturday where he taught me about the benefits of loyalty, how God required it, how my relationship with men gave God an understanding how my relationship, or set the parameters for my relationship with God. Now, he didn't articulate it in those terms, but I understood that how I treat you sends a message to God. Then there was my pastor, O.C. Johnson. See, I believe when God's connected me, that people have a deposit to make. And I look for that deposit. What he taught me was humility. Oh, my God, he was almost humble to his hurt and pain. He was to the point he let folk run over him. I ain't learned that part. I got a point where I tell you it's time to get up. It's time to get off. But oh my God, I saw a man passionate about preaching. Oh my God. Oh my Lord. You talking about a passionate preacher. Because I used to travel with him. You know, I drive him around. And I'd go with him. He would preach. Dr. Sam's gonna test this. He'd preach three or four times on a Sunday. Two or four times, he'll preach at least, he could preach 2 and 3 3 o'clock programs. No, because what he do is, he tell them when he gonna be there and I got to get up. And he preach, turn the house, we jump in the car, go to the next church. They sing until he get there, you understand? He run in, he preach, turn the house, we go to another church. They sing until he get there. He preach, turn the house. That's after preaching early morning service. Because he'd preach early morning service, 7 o'clock, find somewhere to preach at 11 o'clock, and preach 2 or 3, 3 o'clock programs, all the same day. They said, now we know where you get all that preaching from. Oh, and by the way, that's not counting what was done during the week. He was a revivalist. C.O. Jackson, boldness. Oh, my God, that man taught me boldness. I walked in his shadow. I learned boldness. I learned, man, C.O. Jackson, Dr. Jackson like this. If God said it, what are you waiting on? To see a man do so much with so little was amazing. Man, I had never seen people function and operate like him. He challenged me. I told y'all, heard the story, you know, I was in the bed. He called me one morning and said, "Hear you?" And I said, "Yeah, Pastor." He said, "Boy, are you asleep?" I say, "Yeah, Pastor, you know, hey, I ain't got nothing to do today." He said, "Now, ain't that something? The bread man is up, the milk man is up, and God's man is asleep. Boy, get your tail up. If you don't have anything to do, come watch me work." So I would follow him and I would watch him. He would let me sit. Morris called. Everybody said, Morris called? Then taught. So I would go to the banks with him and just sit there and watch him negotiate with bankers. I know you could talk to people like that. No, I really didn't know you could talk to bankers like that, you understand? But he let me see him take care of business. I walked in his shadows and watched him, in construction and building and that sort of thing. I watched his TV ministry, and as he would do his TV, he was one of the first people in the country that was on television. And I would sit there and watch him, how he would do his television ministry. We are the sum total of what others impart into our lives that we choose to incorporate. I learned boldness from him. Amen, amen. So you got to understand, you got to make sure you're around the right people. Amen. Man, you're around the wrong people, you're going to be all messed up. You're not going to ever get that stuff you just talked about. You can't be around a bunch of negative folk. Child, it's so hard. You know, the price of this is going up and the price of that is going up. You know, I don't know what we're going to do. You understand? No, you can't be around people like that. You got to be around pushers. Everybody say pushers. All right. Then, I can't stop there. Then there's A.L. Patterson. A.L. Patterson, he inspired me through his articulation of the Word of God. I just love how he would paint a picture with his tongue. He could take a lesson, and after he finished it up, it's almost like you could reach out and touch it. And then there was E.V. Hill. Oh my God, what a brilliant man. I worked for E.V. Hill. Many people don't know that. I worked for E.V. Hill. And I saw the power of delegation. Man, he could do a whole lot of things. He was doing things all over the country. And you'd wonder, how is this man able to do it? He delegated a lot of things. Man, he has so many things. And I sat there and watched him. How he would delegate this and delegate that. It was an amazing thing to walk in his shadows and watch him delegate and control things. His perspective was incredible. He came out of a meeting one day and said, Hilliard had a big meeting. I said, big meeting? He said, three people were there. I said, Dr. Hill, that's a big meeting, three people. I said, three people? He said, they were the Hunt Boys. Now, y'all don't know who the Hunt Boys. The Hunt Boys, at that time, they were the Silver Barons. They had plenty of money. Something y'all not understand. Silver Barons, no. And he got his whole, one of his ministries funded that day. Big meeting. Three people. If the right three people in the house, big meeting. And then Frederick Casey Price. I learned from this man faith. I really understood faith. He taught me how to understand faith. I learned integrity. And I learned discipline. Oh, my God. And there was a discipline that you had to have if you were going to associate with him. He required it. And if you wanted to associate with him, that's the price you had to pay. You had to pay the price of being disciplined. You had to, he's real soft right now, praise the Lord, but he wasn't soft in the early days. Now, some of my members accused me of being the same way. You follow me? Now, when we were over on over in Crown Park Drive, and our church was closer, because my kids all mess with me, a lot of old members mess with me about what I didn't let the members do. See, they said that's why they're so reserved right now. Because they were trained totally different. Y'all have it easy right now. All this walking that's going on, oh no, I wouldn't let that happen. In that day, you know, I'm teaching and you talking, I'd stop and say, okay, maybe you want to come up here and. No, I just give you the mic. Since you got so much to say, come on up here. You messing with everybody else, can't nobody on your row get no peace. Maybe you want to come up here and teach. And the children, they didn't do all the stuff they do now. Oh, no, Lord. That's why the young adults right now, they're so disciplined right now because the fear was put in them, the fear of God. Amen. But see, you all were the core. You all were the foundation. You all were the foundation. So. I ain't going to apologize. I see y'all trying to give it up. I ain't apologizing. I am not going to apologize. I ain't apologizing. That's when I tried to talk to Dr. Price. I said, Doc, you were so hard on me. And so I said, well, but look what I produce. So how you going to argue with that? You understand? So I see some of y'all trying to get an apology for me being hard on y'all. I'm not going to apologize. Look at you now. Look at what God has done in the church. Amen, amen. All right, so now, okay, I got 13 seconds, so I'm going to have to take, I built in me a 5-minute, buffer. I did. All right. My seminar, I can build in what I want to. Okay, come on, you got to get this next one. Planning up my finances. So I've got to understand sowing my seed is critical. I have to be a sower of money. When the rich young ruler wanted to go to the next level in Mark chapter 10, Jesus required a seed. When Abraham wanted to know about his future, God required a seed. So I must understand that sowing seed for my future is important in this process. Amen. And then finally, the development of my potential occurs through the promotion from my faithfulness. Now, I got to get you to go to the last scripture, which is Matthew chapter 25. My faithfulness where I am now requires, is the requirement for promotion and the release of potential. Now, let me back up while you're going there, because, all these relationships I talked about, and you'll have a lot of relationships along the way, but, and this is what I have so tried to do throughout, all of these men sowing into my life, because all of them sowed in a certain season. But when God connected me with another person, I did not disconnect from the previous person. You follow me? Now, even though the next person may take me to another level, this person didn't take me to, this person is responsible for me being positioned where the person who's taking me to the next level, is. So I got to understand, this person who has just helped me is responsible for me being where I am so this person can help me. So I can never deny the help my father gave me, because my father he positioned me for N.T. Burks. N.T. Burks positioned me for O.C. Johnson. O.C. Johnson then positioned me for C.L. Jackson. C.L. Jackson positioned me for A.L. Patterson. A.L. Patterson positioned me for E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill positioned me for Frederick K.C. Price. Watch this. To deny all of these relationships, to disconnect them, would cause me to be a relationship pimp. Because that simply means I have used these people for my benefit, and when I don't need you anymore, when you can't turn the trick for me, I'm through with you. That's my ghetto flavor to how I preach, you understand? That's why every platform I get, I talk about, I'm in Word of Faith circles talking about C.L. Jackson. And everybody going, well, wasn't he Baptist? So what about that? Like Baptist folk ain't saved? Huh. He got more boldness in his little finger. So okay, well, yeah. I'm closing now. Watch this, verse 20. So he that hath received 5 talents came and brought the other 5, and saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now watch this. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you what? Many things. Enter thou into the joy. Now here's the point. I don't get so futuristic that I don't take care of the right now. Because if I take care of the right now, it qualifies me for a godly promotion. Now this is what keeps you balanced. Everybody say, stay balanced. Yes. See, this is what keeps you balanced, is that I understand that even though I may be working through difficult times right now, That's all part of the process, and it is all a part of what qualifies me for a godly promotion. If I'm faithful over the few, I will be promoted, and I will be in a position where a demand will be made on potential that God has placed on the inside of me. Because when God promotes me, he promotes me at a level where he know I can handle. So when I get promoted, even though I may not see how I can handle it, God knows I can handle it. Kind of like Pastor Reynolds. When I went to Pastor Reynolds and told him, Pastor Reynolds, you are the guy for Austin. He said, oh, no, Pastor, no, you need to get somebody else. I said, no, you're the man. God told me the man. Oh, no, Pastor, you don't understand. Now, see, he'd been faithful. He started out cutting the grass at Life Change Institute. He started off cutting the grass. He was faithful cutting the grass, and we moved him up to hiring him. Faithful in hiring him, and then he moved up to directing the facility. Faithful in the facility, and God said, now it's time for him to be promoted to pastor. He didn't see it, but I saw it. I saw it because God saw it. He said, oh, no, Pastor Reynolds, do you believe I'm your man of God? Yeah. Do you believe I hear from him? Yeah. Well, Reynolds, believe me, but Pastor, you know, just like Jeremiah, you know, don't put him down. He's just like Jeremiah, Moses, all the rest of them, Gideon, always want to talk about their deficits. I didn't even go to Light Bible Institute. I didn't even finish MDI. Doesn't matter. You've been faithful. Yes, now I got to say this, because if I don't say this, somebody's going to say, well, I'm dropping out because Pastor said it don't matter. In his situation, where his situation was, that wasn't a criteria. God said, promote the man because he'd been faithful. Now, we had to give him some crash courses and a whole lot of things because he was behind, you understand? He was willing to take the crash courses. But look what God has done in him. I said, all you got to do is to be willing. Come go with me to Bible study. So he went to me with a couple of Bible studies in Austin, Texas. And then, of course, my travel started. I said, okay, it's on you next week. It's on you next week. And it's done an incredible job. Now let me close. Travelers. Two travelers, two hunters. Young man and his son was traveling through the woods. And they came upon a situation where they saw a lot of butterfly cocoons. And they sat there and watched the caterpillars, you know, the butterfly come out of the cocoon. And the little boy wanted to stop. He saw how they were struggling so hard to get out. And he wanted to stop and he wanted to help. He wanted to break open the cocoon to help them, so that their struggle would not be the way it was. And his father said, oh, no, you can't do that. He said, because it is during the struggle of breaking out of the cocoon that they gain strength for the flight. See, my friend and I were talking last night, and he was talking about, we go way back about the struggles and all that sort of thing. And I told him, I said, that's part of my clothes to tomorrow. Because, you see, all the struggle I went through, you know, I said, wouldn't you wish folks didn't laugh at you and wouldn't have had to mock you? Yeah, I, you know, in a sense, you almost wish that hadn't happened, but it's what makes me strong today. Because it's the process that strengthens you. So during the process of your achieving your goals, persecution will come. But that's all right. You don't get discouraged because you understand that's making you strong. Because when you achieve your goal, you better believe, you think you're being talked about not just because you want it. You wait until you get it. But since you've endured being talked about on your way to it, when you get it and they talk, it don't matter. I'm used to this. Having to do things with little is no challenge. I've been there. So I don't panic when little, when I have a big task and little resources. Because when I broke out of my cocoon, it was that struggle of taking a little and watching God do a whole lot that gives me confidence, even when tasks are so big. So when we had to buy the Lakewood facility, when God brought this intrusive desire, I wouldn't bother nobody. When God dropped this intrusive desire into my heart to buy this campus, do you really understand that we have several mega church campuses? And I sat down and talked to them, and they talked about 28 million, 29 million. I've been there before. Why something costs more than what I had money for? There ain't nothing new. I've been there before. Where I have a dream, I have a desire, I've got a vision, I've got a goal, I've got an assignment that costs more than what I have. I've been there before. At one time, it was a bus. Another time, it was a building. Another time, it was some land. I've been there before. So I'm not panicking now. It was the process that brought me to the place where now this becomes possible because I've been there before. Are y'all get this? Y'all get this one? So I understand. At that point, what did I do before? I negotiated. We finished negotiating down to 15 million. Still ain't got 15 million. Been there before. Have negotiated the price, but still don't have the money. So I'm not in a panic mode. God must raise up somebody to help me, because if he doesn't raise up somebody to help me, I'm not going to make it anyway. I'm still walking in the joy of the Lord because I understand the process. I understand this is a matter of seasons. I have done what I was supposed to do in past season. I have an expectation for my harvest in this season. There is time, measurement of space. There is timing, right time to do and season to do. And there are times, generational moments. The believer has to understand timing. When I understand timing, I don't get frustrated. Because I understand, because I have done what I was supposed to do in previous seasons, I must reap my harvest now in this season. Watch this. I have helped other churches in past seasons. God must raise up somebody to help me in my season. Are you getting this? Because what good I make happen for others, I wasn't playing back there. I was working on purpose. I was intentionally making an investment so that when my season came where I needed help, God was obligated to raise up somebody to help me. It is the process that creates the strength. It's like exercise. And if you keep picking up the same weight, soon picking it up become easier. Soon you can put on more weight. And if you keep the process, you'll be amazed at how much weight you can lift. Y'all get blessed. I'm out of time. Amen, amen. All right, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wanted to get y'all here by...